Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's the most optimistic time of the year. Who will be the next star player for your 49ers?
With the 31st pick, the San Francisco 49ers select.
It's draft night on 95.7 The Game with Sterling Bennett. Here's Mark Grandy.
Yes, it is. Welcome in as round two of the NFL draft is just about to close in Detroit. We are nearly, 64 plus picks into the NFL draft. We're right around number 60 right now in total. The pick is in 57th overall. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are about to announce their pick, which means the 49ers, who are picking 63rd overall, are only a handful of selections away. Welcome into draft night number two as the second round again is near a conclusion. It's Mark Randy and Sterling Bennett with you. We're with you for the next 3 hours through the end of round two here and then all of round three as well. The 49ers, as currently set up, will make two selections, but maybe they trade in, maybe they trade out. You never know, but there will be some Niners action. One piece of action coming up relatively soon, and then we got to wait a little bit longer for some more Niners action. But Sterling, welcome in. It was a fun draft night. Last night, night number one, round number one, an interesting end to the night, and relatively straightforward so far for the 49ers. All the drama about Deebo Samuel potentially being traded has not happened, and considering now we're nearing pick 60 overall, it seems like we're going to get out of tonight without maybe a major development in the 49er wide receiver room.
The biggest story so far is there not being a story.
Exactly.
Niner fans last night left the show, including ourselves, of what's going to transpire, whether it would be through the midnight hours of last night, entering into this morning. But I think so far, Niner fans, and Grandy, I'm sure you're over there breathing a sigh of relief saying, oh my goodness, Deebo Samuel's still going to be here this season. Brandon Ayuk is still going to be here, what seems to be for this season. And while there are still things to figure out, Ayuk's extension, how everybody fits, Deebo Samuel has responded to Diana Rossini's comments, kind of laughing at the report she put out, saying that he talked to her and he said it is what it is. So there may still need to be some things ironed out between parties and who's involved. But as of right now, at pick, 58 to the Packers, the Niners are sitting pretty. And I think with hindsight, knowing what transpired in the first couple picks of the second round, the Ricky Pearsall at number 31, I think, looks a little better. But I know Niner fans will say, Philadelphia got two of the best defensive backs, if not the two best ones.
The first thing I said to you when you walked in today. The first thing I said to you. We messed around and let the Philadelphia Eagles grab the two best corners of this draft.
Which is true. I mean, whether
some would argue otherwise, maybe, but
I think they'd be wrong.
Two of the top three at the very worst.
Well, and if you don't want to say cornerbacks, you can certainly say they have the best cornerback in safety, right? And I think
maybe best defensive playmaker.
There's a
and we're talking about Cooper DeJean here.
Yes. Yeah. And the fact that the Packers move back and let Philadelphia take him. Now the Green Bay Packers get their safety here, but you can nitpick some certain draft picks. I will say this for everybody last night that was saying, get the offensive lineman. They're almost all still on the board. Whether it's Christian Haynes, Kingsley Sulamitea, who had a top 30 visit with San Francisco, he's still there. Blake Fisher, right tackle from the Fighting Irish Notre Dame.
Yeah, we're 26 picks into round two so far, and we have one offensive tackle taken.
So I do think...
offensive lineman in general.
Exactly. And so I understood last night there was a little bit of frustration that you got to protect Brock Purdy. Receiver is in a position of need, but looking back and seeing where things have played out, I think San Francisco is in a really good spot to still get a guard or a tackle they like. They can also add something else or even trade up in the third round if they want to. So I know last night was kind of, I don't want to say contentious, but there certainly was some frustration room last night, me defending Pearsall and you guys saying, what the hell's going on? Why are we going receiver? But I think as of right now, even you, Mark, would say that things aren't as bad as they seemed less than 24 hours ago.
Well, for me, it was never about necessarily the player that they selected.
Right.
It was more about the circumstance around it, and I'll get to more of that in a second. Did want to run through a couple of the picks that we have missed. If you were listening to Willard and Dibbs, they took you all the way up through the 24th pick in the second round, 56 overall, when the Dallas Cowboys took edge rusher Marshawn Neyland out of Western Michigan. Since then, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have taken Alabama edge rusher Chris Braswell, Georgia safety Javon Bullard goes to the Green Bay Packers, 26th pick of the second round. And then just recently, I know, Sterling, you had a little bit of a reaction to this one. Notre Dame offensive tackle Blake Fisher goes to the Houston Texans. So DeMeco Ryans maybe spurns his former boss, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and company, because that was probably potentially a target for the 49ers. But Blake Fisher becomes the second offensive lineman drafted in the second round. The Niners are now three selections away from them being on the clock. You've got the Bills, the Lions, the Ravens, then the 49ers, followed by the Chiefs, to close out round number one. But for me, Sterling, going back to last night, it wasn't necessarily that I feel that Ricky Pearsall was going to be a bad player. I mean, and if anything, you're right. Going back and diving into him a little bit more in depth off air last night, this morning, and leading up to today, excited for what he can be as a professional. But I have been, this whole offseason for me, considering the heartbreak of how it ended in early February, it was, all right, let's gear up for one final real run at this. I mean, you're going to be good beyond this coming season,
right,
but let's gear up for an all-in year, do everything in your power to win a championship, to win the 2025 Super Bowl, wherever it is. I don't even know where it is. I know it's already announced. Wherever you're going to be playing in early February, get it done in February 2025. And this pick, to me, seems a little bit of them trying to toe the line between helping the team now and also preparing for the team's future. And it feels like, to me, you could have made a pick that made your team better in this very moment than this pick made them.
Philadelphia, Cooper DeJean, the Saints got Kool-Aid McKinstry. Those are all picks last night that were on the board. Johnny Newton, who I think went to the Commanders, which, by the way, Adam Peters is crushing this draft for the Commanders right now. And it's a good thing to see for a former Niner, but also it pains me to say they've gotten three players you just wish the Niners could have had. Mike Samer still being the main one for myself, cornerback out of Michigan. But you're right. There is the drawback of taking Ricky Pearsall is that maybe you do put getting better holistically, whether it's at safety or cornerback, or just instantly improving your roster at a non-depth or future position as a starter with Pearsall, you may not have done that yesterday. And I think they have certainly improved slot receiver. I think they have protected themselves from situations like we did see against Kansas City, where Deebo Samuel is hurt, Ayuk is double-teamed, and nobody else can get open, and you're relying on Juwan Jennings, who we all love, but of all people, to throw and catch touchdowns for you in the Super Bowl, which was an all-time performance, but it wasn't enough, and you needed somebody else to get open. But today, hearing Niner fans, whether it's on Twitter or on the station or listening to you and Evan last night, yes, I completely understand if you sit back and say, you know, did we really get better at a position of need? But also,
like, there's a reality that Ricky Pearsall, 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, is an awesome football player, and the team is much better as a result.
Yeah.
And who knows what that means. Maybe that means winning the NFC when they wouldn't have otherwise. Like, who knows? It's incredibly I was going to say unlikely. It's incredibly difficult and nearly impossible to try to handicap what that might mean. But if we get to a point this coming season where, I don't know, you got an injury to a cornerback, D'Amador Lenore misses a bunch of time, God forbid something happens to Mooney Ward, or maybe someone takes a step back, and you get into a postseason game against the Detroit Lions again, and then you just have Amon-Ra St. Brown running all over you and Jared Goff killing you through the air, I'm going to get to a point, I'm going to look back at last night and say that was a moment where you might have cost yourself big time.
There also is a future where you look at the three cornerbacks they signed this offseason, and Isaac Yiadom and
maybe
Chase Lucas
super big,
and
high on
Rockison
right.
and even a player like Daryl Luter Jr., who didn't have an entire offseason program last year because he got hurt but made a game or touchdown saving tackle on Thanksgiving against Seattle. They like him
and
a lot.
And he also touched the ball in the muff punt.
You're
in the
right.
Super Bowl.
You're right. You're right. But I do think
I get your point.
There are a lot of in-house options where San Francisco might say, we could reach for a guy we're not truly in love with, but that might backfire because we have plenty of guys in the room. Like, there's no promise that maybe Cooper DeJean is not involved in this, but Kool-Aid McKinstry or a Cam Hart or a Max Melton who went to the Cardinals. Like, there's a reality where those guys are the fourth cornerback, fifth cornerback on your roster, whereas Ricky Pearsall is kind of a guaranteed at least fourth guy who's going to get reps. But I think right now the Niner fans shouldn't be thinking, well, what happens come playoff time? The Niners are a team that will pivot. If they feel they have to go acquire an edge rusher during the season, they will. If there's a need for a cornerback, whether it be Patrick Surtain, who is still on the Broncos, it could still get traded come midseason next year, which we don't know, they'll do that move if they had to. They wanted Surtain. They wanted Jalen Johnson from the Bears this year, and it couldn't happen. So I do think that the team that came into the draft is not the same team after the draft. And the team after the draft isn't the same team in OTAs and training camp and so on and so forth, where if you do get to week 7 and we're sitting there saying, man, they can't get any pressure on the quarterback, they'll go get a Chase Young again. They'll go get a Randy Gregory and they'll find somebody to fill that hole because this team wants to win desperately. So I get it again. Fans are in the moment. It's pick 31. You have no idea what's going to happen today and tomorrow, and it can frustrate you, but Niner fans should know it better than anybody else. This team is not finished, even if it's week 1 of the NFL season.
Yeah, good point. Another pick just has come in. It is safety out of Utah. Cole Bishop goes to the Buffalo Bills. That's the 28th pick of the second round, 60th overall. So the Detroit Lions are now on the clock, and officially the pick is in. We will know that pick in just a little bit. Once that Detroit pick is in, the Niners are just a pick away from them being on the clock, because you have Detroit right now, then Baltimore, followed by the San Francisco 49ers. So, Sterling, as we try to look forward here, just a couple of picks. Obviously, you can be bit here by the Lions and by the Ravens, but who is the group of maybe 3, 4, 5 players the Niners should be targeting, and maybe what positions? I know you threw out Kingsley Suamatia, an offensive tackle from BYU. He's a name that's been mocked to the Niners in this spot a lot in the past. There are some other options as well. You could go maybe TJ Tampa, a corner from Iowa State, if you do want to go to the corner depth right now. Who stands out to you as one of the many options the Niners can turn to here late in this second round?
Kingsley Suamatia, I think, is kind of the favorite, if you would say. There are many people that would say he could have gone in the first round to them. I also think the dark horse, which at this point might not be a dark horse anymore, is Roger Rosengarten from Washington, who has ties to Joe Staley. He's someone who San Francisco was infatuated with in his pro day. They stayed with him afterwards, being John Lynch and Schneider, the offensive line coach. Again, this is a guy they like a lot. He's 6'5", 308 pounds. He's someone that, when you look at him, when you're that big, he's oddly the fastest offensive lineman in the entire draft class. So I do think they'll have their eyes on him.
So you like an offensive lineman?
I think it would be the way to go. Christian Haynes is still there from UConn, I believe. So there's a lot of places they can go.
Just don't go wide receiver. I'm begging you, 49ers.
If the Niners draft Malachi Corley, who is heralded as Debo Samuel 2.0, we can begin the what is going to happen with Debo Samuel conversations again. But let's say you wanted to go cornerback. I do think the Niners would be apt to look at Andrew Phillips from Kentucky.
And one corner just came off the board. Ennis Rakestraw Jr., corner from Missouri, goes to the Detroit Lions. So there's one corner gone.
So going back to Andrew Phillips, who is still on the board, thankfully, at this point, I do think San Francisco did like Mike Sangerstiel. Obviously, the Commanders got him earlier in the second round, but Andrew Phillips is 5'10", 191 pounds. He's someone you look at and say, you're not a great tackler, and that could maybe frustrate San Francisco knowing how bad their tackling was last year.
That's not what they like.
It's not.
They like sure tacklers.
But when you look at the way he covers, there's a you can say he might be the best coverage nickelback in the entire draft. Mm. And if you want to look at versatility, moving Lenore to the outside, having Aiden out there on base downs, there's a real chance, may not happen, but if you're the Niners and you want a cornerback, you could see them go Andrew Phillips from Kentucky. I think it was a top 30 visit for them, so there are connections that aren't just, I like a player, they should take him. There's also somebody like, if you want to get super deep into things, you can go for a Kyrie Jackson, go Ducks, right, mm-hmm. Grandy? 6'3".
That seems like it would be a bit of a reach at this stage.
I do think so, but he's...
But the Niners are okay reaching.
They may have reached last night.
They don't care what anyone outside of Niners headquarters right now thinks.
Exactly.
They do not care.
And I don't want to get too aggressive here, but Kyrie Jackson is kind of built like Richard Sherman, and there are some traits that he plays like Richard Sherman. I'm not saying that's the case, but I do think if there's a cornerback that fits what San Francisco likes, sticky in coverage, loves to tackle an outside corner, it could keep Lenore to the inside. And if they want to reach potentially again, Kyrie Jackson could be your guy from Oregon.
Okay. I like it. I mean, I would love to add a duck. I would love to add a duck. I mean, I mentioned wide receiver. There's another duck hanging around, Troy Franklin, who's kind of been mocked in these areas. But you're right.
Could you imagine?
The Niners are not going to another wide receiver at this stage. I would be incredibly shocked. And you're right. If that does happen, then we're going to have a different conversation about what this means. It was kind of odd because so much of the lead up to the NFL draft, the talking about what would Debo even fetch you, what would Ayuk even fetch you, and it was talk about maybe a fourth round pick for Debo Samuel, maybe the Niners are holding out for a third and all of that. And then there was the talk that maybe the Niners would get an early second round pick for Debo Samuel. So the way that the story kind of unfolded seemed odd to me. More on that in a little bit, though, because Sterling, a name that you were just talking about that you might have described as a little bit of a reach at this stage, goes a pick before the 49ers. Roger Rosengarten, the tackle, offensive tackle, played right tackle for the Huskies in Washington. He goes to the Baltimore Ravens. He's the guy that's worked out a lot with Joe Staley. So he is off the board. But Sterling, you're also at a point, if you're the 49ers, where maybe you are happy with either Kingsley Suamatia from BYU or Rosengarten from Washington. So, you know, one of those goes, and maybe you could just take the other, but it is a little bit unfortunate that Roger Rosengarten out of Washington does go to the Baltimore Ravens, but you do have another tackle there that you might be able to take, or you can take. We'll see if they want to.
Well, and take that further, the Niners have what seems to be have traded back with the Kansas City Chiefs out of the second round entirely.
Oh.
So we don't know what the return is,
No, is it just one? They're just swapping spots?
It looks... Oh, you're right.
Kansas City has the 31st 64. Pick of the second. Niners will close out the second round. Okay, so maybe the Niners have their eyes on a couple of players.
We do have the return. The Chiefs get pick 63 and pick 211 in the sixth round, while the San Francisco 49ers get pick 64 and a fifth round pick 173.
So you move up from the 6th to the 5th,
exactly.
And you move down just one spot.
Which I believe San Francisco now has 3 in the 4th, and I think 2 in the 5th. So day 3 is going to be really exciting for the Niners.
That's correct. You have 3 4th-round picks, and now you have 2 5th-round picks.
I do wonder what this is, though.
And only 1 6th-round pick now.
Kansas City has jumped in front of San Francisco twice. Last night for Xavier Worthy, which...
Fastest receiver in the draft.
I think it
the
was...
The easy comp is the next Tyreek Hill,
I
right?
think it was a reach, and I'll stand on that until I watch both these guys play, but but this makes me feel like San Francisco is comfortable with the offensive linemen collectively on the board. Cooper Beebe still there from Kansas State. Cedric Van Pran from Georgia is there. Bo Limmer from Arkansas is there. Dominic Puny from Kansas is still there, so... It does make me feel like San Francisco is a lot more comfortable.
There's not just one guy left that they
exactly.
really like.
There's a
couple.
And
at least two. At least two.
And who knows what that is. It also gives them ammunition to move back up tomorrow or even later today.
It also tells you the Chiefs are desperately in love with one person left on the board.
Yeah, and
we'll see who
it is. I don't know what their needs exactly are, having gotten their receiver yesterday. Maybe they get Malachi Corley and try to have a Deebo Samuel off with San Francisco come February. You just never know. Well, obviously, and look who it is.
It is Kingsley Suamatia, the offensive tackle from BYU.
What is going on?
If the 49ers wanted him, then this is going to turn into a major mistake. But I would trust that the San Francisco 49ers, having just seen Rosengarten go off the board a pick before, I would feel I'm going to trust Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, company enough to feel like this was not the one guy that they were hoping for. They have somebody else in mind. But from the outside looking in, this does kind of feel a little bit frustrating because for many people, the best available offensive lineman left.
That has tackle guard flexibility.
Correct. That the Niners desperately have a need for. You had him. You had the ability to take him, and you move back one spot, and now he's gone. I will trust that the Niners have some other information, then they're comfortable going in a different direction. But from the outside, this is a little bit frustrating.
When you think of players that fit what San Francisco likes, you have the guard tackle flexibility. He's a really good run blocker. There are some things in his pass protection you wouldn't exactly fall in love with. But, man, San Francisco watching Roger Rosengarten, who they liked at Washington, letting Kansas City move up for Kingsley Suamatia. San Francisco must either feel super comfortable or they're going to allow teams to get ahead of them knowing that they're not going to reach here. Like, they may have reached in the first round last night. They're sitting back saying, hey, we'll move back one pick. We'll give ourselves a chance to trade up either in the third round. Like, they now have second round pick, which is on the clock now, a third round pick, 3 4th rounders, and 2 5th rounders. There's a chance that this could be a wild night of trade up for San Francisco now.
Yeah, and I think they have reason to want to do that. And it's something we talked about a little bit last night, Sterling. John Lynch, Niners GM, earlier this week was talking about how potentially this year and then into the future across NFL drafts, late rounds a little bit weaker now because you have so many more players who are probably draft eligible, or not just draft eligible, but good enough to be drafted, that are deciding to stay in school. Like, say you are projected to be a 6th round pick, but you're a junior. You go back for your senior year, try to improve your draft stock, and now that you have the ability to make money off of your own name, thanks to NIL, you can make a decent amount of money your senior year, improve your draft stock, and instead of being, say, a 6th round pick this year, maybe you're a 3rd round pick next year, and you get a lot more money there as a result as well. So as a result of NIL maybe encouraging players to stay in school longer, the pool of talented players to choose from kind of shrinks. And according to John Lynch, he feels that, like, the late rounds, if you qualify round 5 as that, but at least round 6 and 7, a little bit weaker. The Niners trade away a 6th round pick. They gain themselves a 5th round pick back. So maybe we do see a concerted effort for the Niners to consolidate some of those late round picks and use that ammo to jump into the 4th, 3rd, you know, not here in the 2nd, obviously, that's now over, but I do think we might see that become a trend for the Niners this year.
Or they just like picking in the 5th round. George Kittle, Dre Greenlaw. Like, it's not as if they haven't hit not just home runs, but darn near Grand Slam Hall of Fame talent in that round. Now, that's obviously a stretch of guarantee here, but I kind of like the move in regards to getting ammunition. You just have to question, you're giving the people you can't seem to get by, kind of like Buffalo, more talent ahead of you, when maybe San Francisco likes a guard better than Suamatia, than Rosengarten. Maybe they are infatuated with the quarterback. Like,
they better.
Well, but that makes me feel like they do, because if they didn't, they would have taken them.
They're not. Yes. I mean, this is an organization that has been smart across the board almost every single. Okay, there are decisions that they haven't
made. Wouldn't say every single one.
Of course. But this is largely one of the more analytical, thoughtful, and smart organizations. If they just loved one guy on the board, they would not have traded back one spot. Like, I can guarantee you that. So again, while it does seem frustrating, because if you're looking at, you know, ESPN's best available player left on the board, it was Kingsley Suamatia, and now he's gone, and that has moved back one spot. So what do they do now? Like, I get the frustration, but I would just preach... you know, trust the 49ers front office, although it might be a little difficult to do at times. Just trust that they're going to get it right, because you're right, Sterling. They do deserve that sort of trust at this stage. They were not going to be in a situation where they make a mistake of this magnitude. They had to be equally in love, infatuated by a couple of different players. One of those players could very well have been Kingsley Suamataya, but I would imagine there's someone else that, if that was the case, there's someone else they feel equally as positive about as him.
Or it's just simply, we're not going to reach for a guard, not going to reach for a tackle, and you're going to sit there and say, you know what, if we believe one certain player is the best player available, no matter the position, we're going to take that guy. So I don't know what San Francisco is going to do here at 64, but if you feel comfortable enough not taking protection for Brock Purdy, you better make sure this player hits. You really better make sure this player hits, because Brock Purdy had two stingers last year. You got to keep that guy up. I get you have Josh Dobbs and Brandon Allen, but you got to make sure this guy's healthy.
All right, we do have the 64th pick of the second round, Anthony Spice Adams, making the selection.
It's good to be back home at the crib. I went to school down the street from here, 3200 East Lafayette Street, Detroit Martin Luther King Crusaders. So it's an honor and a pleasure to be here. With the 64th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the NFC champion San Francisco 49ers select Renardo Green, DB, Florida State.
Okay. Renardo Green, a cornerback from Florida State, 5'11 and 7/8 inches, so just about 6 feet tall, 186 pounds out of Florida State. Renardo Green, the cornerback, is the selection for the San Francisco 49ers with the final pick of the second round of the 2024 NFL Draft. He was a second-team All-ACC selection last year for Florida State. Obviously, one of the better teams in the country. They went undefeated, but of course were famously left out of the college football playoff because their star quarterback got hurt. But it is Renardo Green. The Niners go cornerback. They do not go offensive line. They have the opportunity to draft a corner at the end of the first round. They decided not to. Instead, they go corner. Renardo Green from Florida State with the final pick of the second round. And Sterling, now trading back makes sense. They felt like the Chiefs were going to go offensive line if the Niners were set on a corner. Use the extra ammo to do something else a little bit later on, and you still get your guy. That's the assumption here from the 49ers.
And he has nickel and safety flexibility for you, so if you want to get versatile with it. That said, I'll tell you this. I'm going to rely on Dane Brugler from The Athletic. Mm-hmm. He creates the Beast, which is like this 300, 400
play. I'm looking at it right now.
Like, he has Renardo Green as his 17th ranked cornerback and a fourth round talent. Now, Brugler can have an opinion. I can have an opinion. The Niners can say, we don't care. That seems to be their mantra every single season, so who am I to say they're wrong?
And but by Dane Brugler's standards, there's a couple of top 10 corners still on the board.
And take Dane Brugler last night, the Beast massive compilation of prospects had Pearsall ranked over Xavier Worthy, in which San Francisco picked after Worthy. So I don't love this pick, to be honest with you. Now, again, who am I to say in regards to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, but I think they're, just like last night, to your point, may have been better talent on the board. We'll have to wait and see what happens with Green, where he plays, how he plays. I do think, though, this puts players like Samuel Womack on notice. Chase Lucas, who was signed this offseason, will probably also be on notice. I wouldn't be surprised if, hey, Ambry Thomas, we like you enough, but we signed Yadam. We got Rocky Sin. We like Daryl Luter. Niner fans seem to very much not like Ambry Thomas out there in playoff games. This could be, hey, Ambry Thomas, you're also on notice.
Yeah, last year he played in 13 games, all were starts, had just one interception. It was the only interception in his college career. He played all of his five seasons out of high school, all of his five collegiate seasons at Florida State. Last year, again, was a second-team All-ACC selection and led the conference, led the ACC in passes defended. He did not play in Florida State's bowl game. He was an opt-out. The previous year, his junior season, he was an honorable mention All-ACC selection. Again, only the one interception in his collegiate career, but 14 passes defended last year, had 2.5 tackles for loss, a half a sack, 43 total tackles. But he's been pretty he's been pretty consistent in terms of games played. And we also know that's big for the 49ers, Sterling. 13 games played, 12 starts in 2022, 13 games, 13 starts last year. One thing we have seen the 49ers do time and time again lately, it is target guys that have a limited injury history, and certainly Renardo Green does fit that bill as well.
Well, that's been kind of the plan going into this offseason. You get Leonard Floyd, you get Yetur Gross-Matos, you go and acquire Malik Collins from the Texans, get durability. The last thing you want is to see a lot of your star players get hurt. Ricky Pierce saw maybe fortifying the receiver yesterday. Maybe you get Green here, who had 13 pass breakups, a career best last year in college. He has a knack for the ball, doesn't get picks, but if you can get your hand on the ball, you're going to be able to knock the ball away, get your defense off the field, and put the hands back into an offense that has Brock Purdy off an MVP near season, Chris McCaffrey an offensive player of the year, and let Kyle Shanahan go to work again. Yeah. So, again, we will see how things go, but I can tell you this. Niner fans, I'm sure, are punching the air watching Roger Rosengarten go off the board and Kingsley Suamataya right before you, who you traded back to not take, and then want you to take a cornerback when you have about seven of those currently already in the room.
And you could have taken a quarterback round one, and it wouldn't have been considered a reach at all. You could have taken Cooper DeJean.
See, this, it, maybe because I'm more familiar with Pearsall, this is more egregious than last night. Because you have cornerbacks. I can argue that Green, who we'll see what happens, he probably isn't your third best guy. He's probably not going to start for you this year. Like, this feels like a reach and a stash for a year or two.
If that's the case, then both of these picks, you could argue, are not going to have a gigantic impact on your team in 2024.
I think Pearsall will have an impact, but if you are someone, and history will dictate for us what happens, but
I mean, let's
Gray and Dante Pettis and Brandon Ayuk in the doghouse.
Yeah, so exactly.
This pick, though, to me, is if I was a Niner fan, I would be more upset about this, knowing who is still on the board. But again, maybe in five picks it says trade, Niners are up again, and they go and get someone, and we're like, oh, not all is lost.
Yeah, and the guys that were still on the board, guys like TJ Tampa, a corner from Iowa State, Andrew Phillips, a corner from Kentucky, there were some others, DJ James from Auburn as well.
I'd rather have Tyke Smith from Georgia, who can play nickel and also play free safety. Like, we heard all offseason that the Niners may be on the outs with Talanoa Hufanga due to the injury and not wanting to re-sign him. I don't know if Renardo Green puts you in a position where in 1 or 2 years' time you're like, yep, you're a free safety. Yes, you're a starting nickel. Or
he played safety his first 2 years at Florida State.
Exactly. So they do have flexibility there, but maybe in a perfect world, which we don't live in one of those, but maybe in Renardo Green's case it happens, maybe this is their Lenore replacement in 1 year's time. They're going to have to make a decision on somebody, whether it's Mooney Ward, Lenore, Ambry Thomas. Like, someone's going to have to go. And if that's the case, maybe Green is someone that is like, okay, be Lenore. Be our Ambry Thomas replacement. I do think that the Niners in both their first picks have not just looked for now, but also looked for the future. This one feels more like a move for the future.
Do you want to add insult to injury for 49er fans?
Tell me.
The first pick of the third round by the Jets, who traded up with the Panthers to get it, it is the Deebo Samuel comp. Malachi Corley, the wide receiver from Western Kentucky, who led the nation in yards after catch the past two seasons. Malachi Corley, he is the newest wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. He goes a pick after the 49ers. That is the first pick of the third round, Malachi Corley.
Which, take Corley. He was supposed to be your second or third round pick. Green, supposed to be a fourth round pick. Now, that's consensus. That's who the experts believe. And you can ask, who the hell is Mel Kiper, right? Like, you just don't know.
Or any of these guys.
Honestly,
yeah.
And all these guys do their due diligence. We've done it as well. But Malachi Corley with the Jets, although I wouldn't want him in San Francisco, that pick puts the hammer on the nail. Deebo Samuel, if he already was and is staying in San Francisco. If you want to replace Deebo, you get Deebo Samuel Jr., who's 5'11", is a good leader, he's 215 pounds, he's someone who, in Western Kentucky of all places, they manufactured touches for. He had 8.5 yards of yak per reception. So
it's crazy.
You want to call Ricky Pearsall Yak Harlow? You're looking at another yak, bro. Like, Malachi Corley is essentially now the Jets' Deebo Samuel, and you're giving solace someone that with Aaron Rodgers, they can feast on a really tough AFC East that Has the Bills kind of reeling? Has a team like the Dolphins in it kind of in the middle position, and the Patriots are like, we're rebuilding. So the Jets are going for it, and you get an imposing figure that can play running back, play receiver, can do things behind the line of scrimmage, deep downfield. The Jets with a really good pick for them. But again, when you see San Francisco and all the consensus boards, probably going to have a C- on that pick. He's a polarizing player, that being Renardo Green. I can guarantee you there's going to be every pundit say, it was kind of a reach, but is that anything new?
No.
It's like it's what every the pick team, for the Niners.
It's what the Niners do in the draft. It's what they do. They've done it time and time and time again. And if you weren't yet convinced that they do not care about anyone else's rankings, let the first two rounds of this NFL draft change your mind, because the evidence is pretty clear. We do have another pick that has just come in. The second pick of the third round, 66th overall. We got another running back going off the board and another Seminole. Renardo Green's former teammate at Florida State, Trey Benson, the running back, goes to the Arizona Cardinals. So the first two picks of the second round, you got a couple of playmakers. Wide receiver Malachi Corley to the Jets, and then Trey Benson, running back from Florida State, goes to the Arizona Cardinals. The Niners do have a pick here in the third. It's the 94th overall pick. They did have a special compensatory pick later on in the third. That was part of the trade that brought Chase Young to the 49ers. So they do not have that pick, but they do have the third A pick in this third round, 94th overall. So we're about, 28 picks away from that still. We could see some more movement for the 49ers. But Renardo Green is the pick for the 49ers to close the second round. Ricky Pearsall is the pick from last night. So the Niners draft board so far, Ricky Pearsall, a wide receiver from Florida, and Renardo Green, a cornerback from Florida State. Those are the Niners' first two picks here in 2024.
Does it bother you, and I know it did last night, but even today, now that we know who San Francisco picked, which I think in hindsight we all wanted the guard or someone who we knew at cornerback or safety, but it does feel like at both of their positions, there really hasn't been a positional need met. Like cornerback and nickel, you can argue with Renardo Green, but when you talk about like the top guys, he's not that, and he could become that, and he could be great. But it feels like the first two picks aren't positional needs, and they're just, those are the guys we like, and we're going for it, and sometimes it works out, and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's what we talked about last night as well when we were talking through who we think, not necessarily a name, but a position we wanted, I guess not even who we wanted, who we thought the Niners would target in the first round. And we all agreed, you, myself, and Evan, who was with us last night, we all thought, biggest positional need, biggest area, biggest hole on the roster, offensive line, interior, and then right tackle. Like, that's the area that the Niners need a lot of help from. There's obviously some other areas, but that was the biggest area of weakness. But what I will continue to preach to Niner fans is, I don't think Kyle Shanahan agrees with you. I think he's fine with the offensive line, despite how the Super Bowl ended. Yeah. And we know it was ugly, specifically on the right side of that offensive line. They had the same starting five as they do right now, that same starting five a year ago, and they did not draft a single offensive lineman. Now, they're going to get depth this year. I guarantee
they
you
better.
They will draft they at better. Least one offensive lineman before the weekend is over. I guarantee you. But I don't think they went into this draft with the same thought as you and me and most Niner fans out there. We need a new starting right tackle. I don't think they came into this draft with that same thought. So to me, the fact that through two full rounds they have not drafted an offensive lineman, while for me personally it's frustrating because I wanted it and I think it's a weakness, I'm not surprised, because I don't think the Niners feel the same way that I feel.
And I think the first example of that was extending Colton McKivitz for a year, under contract for two more seasons now. So whether Kyle feels that way, I can guarantee you the fan base, whether it's on YouTube or the text line or on Twitter or screaming at their couch saying, what is going on? The fan base, I'm sure, is not happy right now. And last night...
Not that they care.
No, they don't. And it's funny to hear fans who say, well, they kind of care. No, they don't. If they cared, if they truly cared, they would not have taken Trey Lance. They would have taken Justin Fields. If they truly cared, they would have gone guard in the first two picks. And they would have fixed the offensive line. But part of me wonders if they're comfortable now that John Feliciano is solidified as the starter coming into this year, whereas last year it was Burford and Feliciano took over the role. But you can't tell me they're happy with Burford as the backup guard and Jalen Moore as the backup tackle, or even Nick Zakel, who had a snapping issue last year in training camp and then got hurt. They got to find somebody. And whether you want to talk to Daniel Jeremiah, Dane Brugler, or even us, we would all say that Renardo Green's probably a reach in the second round. At the end of the second round.
Yep.
There are players, whether it be defensive linemen, whether it be other cornerbacks, or even, dare I say, the five guards still on the board that can improve your offensive line now, Green feels like a massive reach here.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, we got to hit a quick break here on draft night. Number two, the Niners have made their pick to close out round number two. They go with the cornerback, Renardo Green from Florida State. I don't think you would find anyone who has mocked the Niners draft correctly so far. Ricky Pearsall and Renardo Green are the two picks, a wide receiver and a corner. We'll continue to break it down after this quick break. We are sponsored by the Alameda County Probation Department. It's Sterling Bennett, Mark Randy with you. More on draft night, take two, coming up next on 95.7.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm in the game.
Now back to draft night on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Early round three of the 2024 NFL Draft. It's draft night part two here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy and Sterling Bennett with you
part
again.
Part two.
Yeah, part two.
Hot
there
shots,
we go.
Part two.
There we go.
Have you seen that?
I don't think
so. Charlie Sheen guy? You know, tiger blood in your veins, Randy?
No.
All right. Well, the Niners don't either, but you know.
Yeah, kind of an interesting draft for the 49ers so far. If you're just joining us, I'm sure you have figured out what happened last night in round one. Ricky Pearsall, the wide receiver from Florida, goes to the Niners, 31st overall. It was a little bit of a surprise in the moment, but you can kind of understand why. You love your guy, you go and get him. It sent everyone into a frenzy, wondering if Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk was going to get traded. Up to this point, we can confirm it has not happened yet, and it seems very, very unlikely that it's going to happen at all. And then just a little bit ago, maybe about 20 minutes ago, the 49ers drafted Renardo Green, the cornerback from Florida State.
Who?
Good question. 64th overall, the final pick of the second round. Just to give everybody an idea of where this guy was. So that's the 64th overall pick. And at the handy-dandy top 100 that I'm looking at right now, he's nowhere to be found.
No.
But that's just the nature of the 49ers. You ask basically anybody outside of the 49ers draft room that did not attend Florida State, they will tell you this was a massive reach considering who else was on the board at the time. Also considering a need for the 49ers offensive line. And it seems like Sterling, there is a little bit of news. We'll get to that in a second, but the latest pick off the board, the New York Giants have selected Kentucky corner Andrew Phillips with the sixth pick of the third round. Before that, Junior Colson, a linebacker from Michigan, reunites with his collegiate head coach Jim Harbaugh in L.A. with the Chargers. Caden Wallace of Penn State, an offensive tackle, goes to the New England Patriots. Brandon Coleman, an offensive guard out of TCU, goes to the Commanders. But Andrew Phillips, a corner, goes to the New York Giants with the 70th overall pick, the sixth pick of the third round. And Sterling, the reason you're so upset is because he's one of the many corners who you had mocked and rated much higher than the Niners' selection a handful of picks previously in Renardo Green.
Yeah, Andrew Phillips is one of those players that, and it's not just me. I think you ask anybody from the top to the bottom, I can guarantee you the Giants are saying, I can't believe he's here. Because there are teams ahead of the Giants who just picked Andrew Phillips that needed nickelbacks. And I can guarantee you they're out there in New York saying, why didn't San Francisco pick this kid? Why didn't this other team pick Andrew Phillips? Like, Andrew Phillips from Kentucky is not a big guy. He's 5'10", 191, but he's so physical. And when I think of a player that exhibits, just in coverage, physicality, I go, that guy fits San Francisco. Now, there is a knock on Phillips. He don't tackle. So, come whenever the Niners play the Giants, if they even do this year, we could be sitting back saying, huh, even Debo left Andrew Phillips in the dust? Welcome to the NFL, Rook. There is that. That can certainly happen. But I do want to give Renardo Green at least his flowers when it comes, or at least the Niners their flowers, because there are guys that the consensus, all the mock drafts, whether it's PFF or Big Board, would say, you should take this guy. Why are you taking Renardo Green at pick 64? Meanwhile, San Francisco just has their guys. For all we know, he was a gold helmet. They had 16 of those. We have no idea if those are all, they're all first-round picks. The Niners have their way of finding these players that you aren't thinking of, I'm not thinking of.
And sometimes it works out.
It really does.
But oftentimes it hasn't worked out. I mean, you look at some of the misses.
Nick Zakel from Fordham.
You look at some of the misses. I mean, we're talking about high-profile misses. I mean, you can go all the way back to the first draft of Shanahan and Lynch. Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster, their first two picks. F and F. Yeah. F and F minus.
There are some
terrible
off-the-field issues with Foster. But that was known.
That's part of
it. That was known at the combine. He fought a doctor.
What about the rest of that draft?
Not good.
C.J. Beathard in the third round and Joe Williams in the fourth round, who didn't play a single snap in the NFL.
And they traded up for both of them. Now, to be fair,
didn't play a single snap.
To be fair, Beathard gave us Brock Purdy, so I can forgive him. But
that was part of a wild compensatory draft pick that eventually turned into Mr. Irrelevant and Brock Purdy and one of the better Niners quarterbacks of recent memory. Yes, I agree there. But you have Dante Pettis in the second round the next year, 2018. You've got Javon Kinlaw in the first round. Of course, there's Trey
Mook
Lance.
Dog?
There's Danny Gray. There's Drake Jackson, who maybe jury's still out, but it hasn't really turned out much.
Him, yeah.
Trey Sermon, how about that in the third round? Hey, Kyle, don't draft a running back in the first three rounds, please.
Give me Isaac Grendo from Louisville, who has injury history but is super explosive off the line, Kyle. But
they are not shy about
they have a
being
preference.
Different.
Yes, and I think
sometimes it's worked, but sometimes it hasn't.
And sometimes you have to take a leap of faith and take a risk on players. John Lynch, I think I said it last night, he mentioned in the pre-draft press conference, sometimes we're going to reach. And sometimes that's when you hit. But like, was Fred Warner a third-round consensus pick? I don't remember. That was so long ago, but maybe he wasn't. Like, they do find themselves drafting these tweener players. Or like, Renardo Green is someone that has safety, outside cornerback, and nickelback flexibility. He had 13 pass breakups last year. He ran a 4.49, so he's not a slow guy. He has relatively nice size. You want him to be a little thicker than what he actually is, but I do think Renardo Green is someone, when you see Andrew Phillips and you go, not a great tackler, really good in coverage, Green is someone who is one of the better press man coverage players in the entire league, and when you talk about a nitty-gritty tackler, he likes to get his hands dirty. And I can almost guarantee you that was the difference of Green or Phillips. I would like to assume they wanted Mike Sanders steal, but the Niners like these, like Green said himself, the Niners defense is savages, and he wants to join a group of savages on the hunt like Fred Warner and the rest of the Niners secondary.
Yeah, I mean, only time will tell. I mean, really, on all these guys, it's what makes this draft so difficult to try to evaluate. I mean, the Niners obviously have a reason. It's not like they're just willy-nilly picking names out of a hat. They have reason to believe that these players, every single one of them that they pick, and you can so easily laugh off a fifth-round pick.
Right.
But they have reason to believe that each and every single one of these guys are going to be really good players. Now, the history somewhat speaks for itself, but for every major, major miss that they have, Sterling, they also have incredible booms and incredible values. Mm-hmm. In the second round, Deebo Samuel was a second-round pick, 36th overall. It's a really early second-round pick, yeah. But still, that's great value, 36th overall. You mentioned Fred Warner in the third earlier. You mentioned George Kittle in the fifth, Dre Greenlaw in the fifth. We know about Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. Talanoa Hufanga was a fifth-round pick. Diamador Lenore, a fifth-round pick. That's great
Go
value.
Ducks.
You're right. Even Brandon Ayuk, first-round pick, 25th overall. Yeah. That's really good value.
Traded up for him.
And they have a lot of hits as well. Generally, the hits have tended to come later on in drafts. But for every out-of-the-box draft pick that they have, there's a bunch of those guys that have hit, kind of surprisingly.
And from what I'm reading, whether it's on Twitter, people I trust, everyone's pointing to, you want to see who Renardo Green actually is? Go watch him guard Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas.
I heard about that as well.
And he shut him down. So there is this uncertainty. There is this unknown as to who he might be because the frame and size really isn't there. But Lenore isn't big either. And he's arguably one of the best nickelbacks in the entire league. So San Francisco likes him feisty. They like to get the line, play some press, play some man coverage, and this may be Brandon Staley saying, hey, let's get one of my guys. And if that's Brandon Staley saying, get one of my guys, this could be one of those picks that you look back 2 and 3, 4 years and you say, Brandon Staley isn't here anymore, but thank God he was here for 1 year. And if Renardo Green hits, then by all means, we have a number two cornerback with inside-outside flexibility that could be a safety in a year.
Yeah, you better hope so. All right, time for another break here on Draft Night Part 2. We're coming back with more. The third round is just underway. The Niners will be in action again at some point, whether it is making an actual selection 94th overall, trading up, trading out. There will be Niners action before we are off the air tonight. It's Grandy and Sterling with you. Draft Night Part 2 continues next on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.